Welcome into the Chris Ramey Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. It is the Tuesday, February 16th, 2021 edition of the program. SLU in action tonight. So we welcome in Carter Chapley, who covers the SLU Billikens for Scoops with Danny Mac. Follow him on Twitter at Chapley Media. Chapley Media. And again, read him at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. SLU and LaSalle tonight at Shea Fitz Arena, 8 o'clock Central. And our Billikens coverage on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com is sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. What's going on, man? It's good to have you with us, Carter.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I love talking Billikens, and I love being part of Scoops.
I know you're originally from the Toronto area. I'm from the Chicago area. How much accumulated snow in our lifetimes do you think we could stack up against the city of St. Louis?
Oh, I don't think it'd be much of a contest. I was talking to someone this afternoon about all this St. Louis snow and this is it's a serious issue here. I mean, the city isn't as prepared for, plowing and salting and stuff like that. So the roads aren't as good. But if this was back in Toronto, this would be solved in an afternoon. We're just more prepared for this kind of thing. So it's a little different for me. That's for sure.
Yeah. There's just literally not the infrastructure in St. Louis or I lived in Memphis for 3.5 years and there's just not the infrastructure in some places.
Yeah. It just makes it a little harder to get around and drive, but I hope everyone's staying safe. I mean, that's, people got to know you can't be out here driving. That's the thing I see most people doing is just not treating it seriously. So I stay home.
Just stay home. Read Carter at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Let's talk about SLU. What a year. Let's say I'm the guy at the beginning of movie trailers who says, like, in a world. How would you finish that sentence as it pertains to SLU's season so far this year? Give me their movie trailer line or the line on the movie poster for their season so far.
Where not much makes sense, but anything is still possible.
Oh, that was good on the spot. I like it.
Yeah, it's an interesting year because they definitely still, you can start seeing the talent of this team starting to shine through. You can start seeing that, that 7-1 start starting to come through. But when you drop two games in the beginning of conference to, Dayton is less of an issue, but LaSalle is definitely an issue. You end up getting this situation where the national media, the Lenardis, the bracket makers just don't take you as seriously, especially because you're in the A-10. So this team is just as talented and probably deserves the same amount of respect, but they have to kind of re-earn it all back. So nothing makes sense, but they're definitely still a team who's going to be in the mix.
Definitely still in the mix. And, you've pointed it out, Carter. And again, follow Carter on Twitter at Chapley Media, that just like the fact that they missed so much time and not only missed game time, but missed practice time, it's pretty remarkable to see the cohesiveness that they've had despite that. What do you attribute that to? And, what have you noticed about the job Travis and his staff has done to get this team on the court, off the court, on the court, off the court?
Well, it's definitely a credit to Travis Ford and his staff and keeping guys, we've seen on the court, they've really simplified things since they've come back. They've focused in on things they can control, like stronger defense, tightening the rotations, rebounding, limiting turnovers. So they've done that on the one hand, but then the mentality, the communication, I would attribute that almost entirely to their senior leadership. I mean, it's Jordan Goodwin, Hassan French, Javonte Perkins. These are guys who, especially Jordan Goodwin, is a guy who, I mean, he told me when they were in that lockdown for, I think it was 28 days, he called every guy on the team on the phone every day and, kept them all in touch and kept them all communicating about how they're feeling and how they're doing with their individual workouts in these, dorms and hotel rooms. So if there's one big credit, I think Jordan Goodwin, his team captain, has kind of kept this team together, and he can't get enough praise. I mean, he's the guy he's the straw that stirs the drink. But, I mean, it's been certainly impressive because I don't think anybody quite realizes quite how challenging it was to come back. I mean, it's one thing to say, well, they didn't play basketball for 28 days. They didn't practice. They sat in hotel rooms for that period of time. They sat in, you know, in airport hotels. It wasn't exactly like they had gyms to or homes to work out in. So it's a huge credit to what this leadership group has been able to put together to not only, I mean, they lost those two first games, which, I mean, I attribute to rust at this point, because we've seen those these last three games, they've looked spectacular. They've looked like the team we all know. So it's, I'm hoping they can pull it all together in time, because it'd be a real shame to see this leadership group not go out with a bang.
So what is that team that we know? In your eyes, Carter, when things are at their best, what does it look like for this group on the court?
Physical. Strong defensively. They make shots in a higher rate than we've seen in a Billiken team in a very long time. Communication, passing. We've saw it a lot more in that Fordham game, even with a guy like Yuri Collins who turned his ankle against Rhode Island. It's a team that's going to move the ball. It's going to play unselfish basketball. And it's ultimately going to come down to, you know, their depth is going to find them ways to win. So they go deeper than a lot of mid-majors do. They can probably run 9 or 10 guys out there. So long as everyone's on the same page and is playing tough, physical, defensive basketball, I mean, there are very few teams in the country that I think they can't go up against.
Yeah, it's like they can adapt to basically anyone, right? Like the depth. And I know sometimes it sounds a little cliche to talk about, you know, leadership and leadership in this year. I know leadership's always important. Having veteran guys are always important. Mizzou's benefiting from the same thing. But it's not cliche with this group, right? Like, from the coaching staff down to the group they have, it's as weird as this sounds, it's almost like they were kind of built for, like, this situation, or at least they have the characteristics to deal with the adversity that they've been handed this year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like we can say at this point that the leadership is something that plays a role. I mean, we see a lot of teams like Duke, like Kentucky, like Kansas, who are having a hard time, you know, adapting to this new world. And that's because they play with younger teams. They play with a lot of freshmen and sophomores who then either get drafted or go on, but their cores aren't exactly veteran leadership. They have great coaching, but their team isn't exactly built for, you know, this type of adversity. Whereas Jordan Goodwin's been through the ringer. I mean, Hassan French, they've been here for 4 years. They know how to communicate with their team and get the most out of what they want. Now, I mean, I think this might have happened to this team regardless of the pandemic. I think they were kind of set up. This was kind of the year. We saw that last year when they were putting together this, you know, a younger squad to have some experience to go together for Jordan Goodwin and Hassan French's senior season. But I mean, they've responded admirably. I mean, they're built to win now, and they are in most cases doing that.
Carter Shepley with us for a couple more minutes talking SLU. What team that you've watched either in the A-10 against SLU or outside of the A-10 has impressed you the most this year overall in college hoops? Non-SLU.
Non-SLU. I think VCU has been really impressive. I didn't expect them to be as talented as they have been. I think they've really shown, you know, they were supposed to be a lot better last year. They've come out here and been really impressive. They beat a good team in Memphis, played a strong non-conference, you know, played competitive games. Bones Highland is an excellent, you know, first team all A-10 type of player. Levi Stocker is a St. Louis kid, so he's been really impressive. I've also been really impressed with Loyola Chicago. I love the Missouri Valley. I love Arch Madness. The Ramblers have been great. They're a team that's going to be an at-large, whether they win their conference or not. And, I mean, we saw an awesome battle with Drake this past weekend in that conference. So I'm particular to mid-majors. I'm particular to the A-10, the Valley, and the Ohio Valley. And those are two teams I'm really looking forward to come tournament time, because I think they're going to be able to surprise a lot of people.
I will not pretend that this is at all an original thought, but, you know, so much talk about scheduling and Mizzou and SLU, whatever. What do we need to do to get the Mizzou, SLU, Illinois, and then one rotating Missouri Valley team in a tournament every year like the Crossroads Classic?
Oh, gosh. That's well above,
come above on,
my,
Carter.
My pay grade.
Let's go, man.
I think, I mean, if it was up to me, it would just get done. I think it makes sense for everybody.
Yeah, wouldn't that be the best?
Yeah, if it was, it just makes sense for everybody. You see these amazing matchups between in-state competition all the time. I mean, the border, like, you know, bragging rights happens. Yeah, I'd love to see a Mizzou-Kansas game again, even though I thought that was coming this year, but that I think that changed because of COVID. I think the major problem is that big conferences like the SEC, like the Big Ten, have gotten themselves so far deep into pre-planned scheduling that putting together, you know, they only have so many non-conference games to play. And you kind of have to ask yourself, especially this year, where I don't know if Mizzou was, I mean, they definitely weren't expected to be as good as they are. I don't know if they even thought they were going to be as good as they are. But I don't know if they were looking for exactly, you know, against a SLU team like this, challenge themselves like that. And I don't think that's saying, oh, they were scared. I think it's just a matter of putting together your optimal schedule. I'd have to think at some point when SLU is maybe in a down year that maybe that game gets done, Mizzou SLU that is. But I mean, putting together a four team event, which I think would be great. You put it in, you know, at the United Center, or you put it in at Enterprise, and you have, and it'd be spectacular. It's hard putting together with two major conference teams a four team event. But we saw SLU put together the Billiken Classic with LSU this year, basically at the last minute. So it's possible.
Yeah, you know, I wonder if this year, and I talked to Sam Snelling about this, like, if this year could lead to any discussion, Carter, of maybe we should rethink, and by we, I mean, you know, college athletics, but especially basketball, because of the games you play and the travel and the travel schedule, maybe we should rethink the way that we do things and, you know, get away from, and I know that this might be seen as radical thinking, but get away from conference schedules and needing to play conference schedules and play more geographically based schedules like Major League Baseball did last year, right? Like with the pandemic, like the Cardinals played the NL Central and the AL Central. It made travel easier. You can cut down on costs. You know, you wouldn't have to charter a flight. Like Gary Parrish and I talked about this too. You wouldn't have to charter a flight or even fly commercial or, you know, in some instances, stay in hotels. Like for schools that are worried about bottom line, you could save on that. You could, you know, have more geographically appealing itineraries, and you know the quality of play would still be great. Just because you're in a conference for all of your sports doesn't mean necessarily that you should have to play a conference schedule in every sport.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I also think the idea of potentially splitting, you know, we see a lot of, you know, basketball programs with what's the term? I'm not a huge football guy. D1A football teams that play in basketball conferences. And I think if I had to radically reshape the college sports landscape, I'd probably say you don't have to play in the same conference for every sport. You know, Mizzou basketball, which was so deeply entrenched with the Big 12 for such a long time, can play Kansas every year because they're in the Big 12 still. SLU being in the A10, in the Atlantic 10, doesn't make a whole lot of geographic sense, but it's really the only basketball conference that makes sense for them. I'd love to see something more regional. I'd love to see something that makes more sense. When TV deals are up, I think it's in the next 2 years, I think we might see some reshuffling that makes a little bit more sense. I'd love to see SLU succeed to a degree in which they can get an invite to the Big East, but I don't know if I see that happening. Or I'd love to see the Atlantic 10 maybe move a little farther west and add schools like Belmont or Loyola. But I think you're absolutely right. There is definitely a need to change the way we think about scheduling in order to get more fan-friendly matchups. Because right now, I mean, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, and, you know, I hope that not just in sports, but in life, there will be some silver linings or some, you know, positive that come out of some of the obstacles and some of the tough situations of the last year. And, you know, why shouldn't sports realize that, especially at the collegiate level, there's a way to, you know, maybe save some cash or use some money for other things and still, like you said, have a greater or even better experience for the programs and conferences, but also fans.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I'd love to see go is just the unnecessary bye game in the first 2 weeks. Just pull up your shorts and play someone good. That'd be the first thing I get rid of. But yeah, I mean, just work. I mean, programs can schedule in the middle of the season. We saw SLU put together a game against NC State basically within 4 days. I mean, why can't we leave more days open in the middle of the non-conference per se, just to schedule, you know, okay, so we want to play 10 games. We've scheduled 5 of them. And then throughout these bye weeks, throughout the middle of the non-conference season, even if we're not even get that radical, you know, oh, SLU and Mizzou are really good this year. Oh, Illinois and SLU are really good this year. Let's put them together just to see.
Carter Chapley, again, check out his stuff at scoopswithdannymack.com. Follow him on Twitter. You can follow along during the SLU game tonight at Chapley Media. Check out everything that he does covering the Billikens, and appreciate you jumping on, man. We'll have to talk some Blues, have to talk some more Billikens and some college hoops as we move closer to, knock on wood, the fun of a tournament and hopefully a full and fully played tournament. That's, I remember last year everyone freaking out in early March because we thought having a tournament with no fans would have been absolutely mind-blowing. Well, if we only knew then what we know now.
Yeah, it was something else to be in New York City at that time, let me tell you.
Carter, appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon, brother.
Thank you.
Billikens coverage on Scoops with Danny Mac, sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. A big thanks to Carter Chapley for joining us on the show. Go SLU. They take on LaSalle tonight. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, Chris Rebby saying be nice to each other, and as always, peace.